All right, we are here. And we have a couple of more questions, yes? All right, let's start.
I'm coming today kind of from a position of dominion in about 90% of my life and feeling very grateful because I feel I've accomplished so much. So most of my life has come together so beautifully in so many ways. With the ascension going on,
yes.
This right now, there's been a major transformation in me this year. And part of it started with the channeling with Archangel Michael back in March. I had to learn I'd been a workaholic all my life. And so I got over that. Took some doing, but I did. So now I have a balance in my life. And I also got my
congratulations.
House. Thank you. That I took every word he said, and I acted on it immediately. That was a major accomplishment. Spiritually, I've developed a lot. My house is all redone. I've got myself financially in a great position. So I'm feeling a lot of gratitude and a lot of joy. But there are two areas that I want to ask about.
All right.
One is very personal. The other has to do with my mission. And the reason that I signed up to come back here at this time. Probably the personal thing is going to take the longest.
All right. Let's start there then.
Okay.
Because your personal thing is going to reflect your personal mission, which leads to your global mission.
Oh, it does. They're related.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
They're in alignment.
Right. Yeah. I was told earlier this year that I'm supposed to be a healer and that I have just started on it. So that's going to be the second one. Where are we going to go? How am I going to be able to help the world?
All right.
With that. And in a reading several years ago with Gaia, she told me that I came into this life to learn compassion, and I have a huge compassion at heart. So that's all part of that. But the personal thing that feels like, well, I've got to create this, I guess, is that all these years, I still haven't found my mate. And I would really like to find a mate that will be a partner with me in my mission. That may not happen, I don't know, unless I create it. But it would be wonderful to be able to do something together in that area. But I just need that companionship. I need somebody to talk to other than just my friends so that I feel I'm a Libra. So I have to have lots of people and lots of communication. And so that's really important for me to find the right person. And then also that my mission is very important to me. So those are my two areas.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, here's one of the ways that you set it up was this.
Okay.
You decided that to find that relationship that you wanted, that full, rich, complete relationship that you are yearning for, that you desire, that if you found it too soon, that you would just be bumped out of your journey. Because, Darwin, when we look at you, we see that you're a very loving person. This is part of that compassion is part of an expression of that, one of the expressions of it. And as a loving person, born into a culture that has really screwy definitions of love, you could have gotten very sidetracked with this person. And you decided that you were not going to let yourself be sidetracked, for you were going to be able to find that person and to allow him into your life only when you are no longer able to be sidetracked.
I think I'm at that point now.
You're almost there.
Okay.
All right. And the reason we say you're almost there is because there is still a part of you that has too much invested in his presence for you to fulfill your mission. In a sense, let's say it in a clearer way, is that a part of you doesn't really want to do your mission or doesn't feel you're want to do your mission or you will do your mission unless you have him.
That's true.
All right? And when you do that, you're not in your power because basically you're saying, I came here as a powerful reality creator due to my mission, but I'm going to wait until so-and-so comes along before I'll get off my butt and do it. All right. And so because you have that kind of conditionality set on it, it has, in a way, postponed your mission. Okay. Now, you've been working a lot about getting yourself self-reliant.
Yes.
And it was something you needed to do because you know that if you had come a few years ago, you know, you would have had stars in your eyes. Oh, and you'd been all an idealistic bliss and fantasy and whatever and so on. And you had to come to earth first. You had to ground yourself. You had to become balanced and centered. And this is, and as you say, you're a Libra. This is something that is often very challenging for Libras.
Oh, boy, it is.
And to really have a sense of your own focus and your own motivation that comes from the true you, not from what you think will please others, which is what it used to be, right? So you've done a tremendous amount of growth, and we can see that. And because the way the light is in you is just percolating and ready to just really explode, really open up, really doors open, ready to open. But it would be too dangerous for you to do that until you really are ready to do your mission, regardless of mate or not.
Okay.
Because what we're picking up here is that your mate really may not be the crucial piece of your mission. Mm-hmm. Your mate may be the crucial piece of your love, mm-hmm. of your companionship, mm-hmm. of your celebration of life.
Mm-hmm.
But he may not be in your same head state with the same mission.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we say that is because now, we're in kind of tricky territory. We might have to, we'll see if we have to define this or not. You and your soulmate are not going to meet this lifetime. Mm-mm. And there's a part of you that wants this guy to be your soulmate. But he's not going to be. Your soulmate and you both have been too lovey-dovey and focused on each other.
Okay.
And it was not helping the work that the two of you as individuals needed to do. So you said, okay, this lifetime we're going to work together only on the psychic level.
Okay.
All right. So he's very available for you on the psychic level.
On the other side.
On the other side. And you're available to him on the other side, although he is in physical body at this time. Okay, both of you are in physical body on the planet at this time, but you will not physically meet.
Okay.
But you do work in your psychic body, and he does work in his psychic body, and the two of you can meet there. When you meditate, you're in your psychic body. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
When you speak to a spirit guide, you're in your psychic body.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
Now, he is part of your network. The two of you are still working on the mission together, but not in physical body proximity.
You lost me there.
You're working on the mission, the global mission of both of you are seeking to make consciousness shift, dimensional expansion of consciousness on the planet,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of healing of the planet going on. And a lot of healing of people, a lot of healing of turmoil, a lot of healing of pain, a lot of healing through communication. Okay? He's working on it too. You're just like you are.
Okay?
And it's part of your global mission that you will be communicating with people. Yes, there's healing, but you have to look at that healing. We're going to define healing for you. And you'll see how it's so hard to look at it and say it must be this form or take that form or look just like this. Because healing is a process by which you hold the healer holds a resonance, energy that is high, that is healthy, that is vibrant, alive, beautiful, loving, okay, holding this resonance up there, okay? And who needs being healed, or the healee, all right, who comes, because of their turbulence within, their emotional disturbance or physical difficulties or whatever it is, and the interaction and interplay in their reality creation dynamics around this obstacle or around this limitation means that their vibration is lower. Okay? The healer holds the vibration up here and says, up high, and says, come on up. The healer knows how to get in sync and how to get in harmony and how to get linked, how to link energies with the healee. But the healer does not come down to the healee's level. Okay? But stands there and holds this resonance and says, come on, come on, you can. Come on, you can come up. And in love and with invitation, the healee lifts and lifts and lifts and lifts and lifts, and maybe the healer in compassion comes down just a little bit and they meet. And when that happens, the higher vibration is brought into the healee, and the healee lifts beyond the vibrations of the issue and is healed.
Wow.
That's the process of healing. And it can be done in a form that looks like psychotherapy. It can be done in a form that looks like hands-on energy work. It can be done in a form that looks like beautiful art, beautiful clothes that lift a person with beauty to a higher frequency. It can be done through feng shui. You understand? It can be done through shamanic rituals. It can be done through calling in the archangels or a higher self. It can be done in lots of different ways, in meditations and visualizations and processes. It can be done walking a maze in the proper state of mind. It's the lifting of the vibration beyond the limit of the issue. That is what healing is. Healing for your planet and for your world means that humanity, who are ready, those who are ready, open up to the hope, and hope begins to lift them. They open up to the hope, and they open up to the dreams and the visions, which lift them further. They open up and move beyond the judgments into more love, and that heals them. They open up into the acceptance of themselves, and that heals them. And so essentially, in your personal life, what you're doing is your personal mission, and this is true, you are a healer because you have a capacity to hold a high resonance when you choose to. Sometimes you've chosen not to, but when you do, even your friends would say you glow.
Yes.
And you know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so your mission has been first to heal you, and to step into that higher resonance for yourself. And that's what you're doing. And you're doing a good job of it. Think about where you were only a year ago.
Oh, my gosh. Major progress.
Absolutely. You know, some people, you know, everybody's growth process goes at a different pace and in a different manner. Some people go in big spurts, and then they float for a while. And kind of, okay, whatever. And then another big spurt. Some people wait to the last minute. They're the 11th hour people. And say, you know, I've spent decades now, you know, sitting and being a couch potato. I guess it's time for me to open up to my spiritual destiny. Boom! And they get really into it.
I've always been very enthusiastic.
Right. And some people are there from the get-go. You know, and it just is a part of their life, and they don't know what their life would be like without it. But everybody has their tempo and their pace. And you made a big spurt, your big surge this year.
Thank you.
All right? And you did a big healing for yourself. Big healing. Because until you complete this healing, And it's not really a completion to perfection. Please understand us.
Right.
But it's enough to get yourself so anchored at that higher level of resonance that you're going to be around anyone and not be pulled down. And you won't be pulled down into rage and anger. You won't be pulled down into victim. You won't be pulled down into fear. You won't be pulled down into any kind of resistances. You won't be pulled down. You're fairly close. Yes, you're pretty close. We sense that the process that you are now, the way you've set it up, now you can change this or you may shift it or modulate and play with it. But what you have at the current time as your probable future timing on this is this transition that you're making right now. You have about 4 more months of this particular transition. So 4 more months, and here we are. Let's see. So we're talking about January, February, you know, next year.
And the transition being?
The transition being sustaining more and more of that resonance.
Okay.
Now, what we're talking to you about as far as preparing for your mate to come to you,
okay,
first of all, is to dismantle the fantasy of you and him working together, you know, in that sense. Let him be him. What you're really looking for and what you're really desiring is what you mentioned first, is that companion to whom you can talk with your heart.
Yes.
And that's what's in the program.
Okay.
You're not in the program, somebody's going to be a big new spiritual, new age leader guy.
Yeah.
All right? That's what your adolescent wants.
Right.
She wants the perfect man.
Right.
You know, the hero of all those lovelorn, you know, women's novels. If you've ever read one, the men are generally absolutely perfect. They're gorgeous. They just know perfectly how to take a woman through sex and love and all this. And they know how to respond perfectly with their emotions. And they have beautiful gifts and talents and creative abilities. And the men are just amazing. And so your adolescent has been kind of fantasizing about one of these. I want one.
That's the Libra in me.
Yeah, I want one of those. I want one of those in my life,
mm-hmm,
so that I can dote on him and just sit there and just admire his beauty. All right. So you want to get the adolescent you, in a sense, lovingly out of the picture.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And so the way you do that is in meditation, you go visit with her and you give her her perfect man. Fulfill her fantasy. Give her the perfect man. Then she'll stop nagging you. And you can let him be real.
Okay, run that by me again.
Okay.
So
if you go into meditation and see yourself at, let's say, age 14 or 15,
right,
and sit with her, and say, listen, I know who you're yearning for. I knew, you know, she might have been, fantasizing about a movie star or something. But otherwise, she probably has a fantasy about what the perfect man is. That's going to be her mate, her lover, and the two of them, well, right off into the sunset together, and life will be happy and blah, blah, blah. And she had this fantasy somewhere in there. Evoke it. You'll know what it is. And you know the energy that goes with it. It's so sweet and spacey.
That was to offset the childhood.
You had to. It was survival then.
Survival.
Absolutely. If you didn't have a future you could fantasize about, it wasn't worth living.
Well, I didn't have the love from my family.
That's right.
I had my mom, so I had to create it.
So you had to create.
I created the compassion.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't create compassion unless you go through some, real major separation here.
Yeah, I had to create
something. Okay.
Excuse me. If you start talking more, then you need the microphone.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So you know what fantasy your adolescent would have?
Yeah, what you've just described.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And
it
so
doesn't make sense at my age, and I know better than that.
That's right. Absolutely. So what you do is you sit in meditation with her.
Okay.
And you say, listen, I know you've been waiting for the perfect man, and you've been wanting me to bring the perfect man to you. Well, guess what? I have your birthday present here.
Okay.
You know, your birthday wasn't all that long ago,
right? It was 2 days ago.
That's right. So here's your birthday, a belated birthday present. Happy birthday. And in your visualization, in meditation, you open up a door, and Mr. Perfect walks in.
Okay.
And you say, here, happy birthday.
Okay.
And you just look at your adolescent self, and she's going to look at him, and she's going to be gaga.
Okay.
He fits the bill. She knows it already. Mm-hmm. Oh, stars in her eyes. She's about ready to faint. All right. Have him go to her. Give her something beautiful. Something of beauty. Maybe beautiful flowers. Maybe beautiful jewelry. Maybe beautiful scarf. Maybe beautiful picture. Something. Let him give her something beautiful. And take her by the hand. And you say, bye-bye to her. I'll take care of the future. I'll take care of me. You have a good time. Bye. And she will go with him. They'll have great sex. He has plenty of money. Any fantasy she has will be fulfilled. You understand? Okay. Now, once that happens, let that sink in. Within a couple of days afterwards, you will find that your inner motivations may have shifted all around because she will have withdrawn from your psyche. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then look out the man that you want and to feel the real truth of what you as the adult now, the powerful reality creator, the light being, what you want. You want a man who can love you, who can be vulnerable to you, who can talk with you,
mm-hmm.
who can share with you,
mm-hmm.
your companion. And, you know, write down a few things. Leave out the, you know, being a Libra, he's got to have some amount of looks, and so don't worry, he will. Because you're creating it.
Right.
Right. But don't detail it down, okay? He's got to be, you know, 6'1", and wait, you know, don't detail it.
I'm not doing that.
All right. No color of eyes or hair. That's the adolescent,
that.
Right?
It's the qualities.
The qualities of the kindness and so on.
Yeah.
And also realize that since he's not going to be perfect and you are not going to be perfect, there will be stuff for you to discuss in your relationship,
mm-hmm.
stuff to work on. So what you want to more than anything else is to find a man who's willing to work on the relationship.
Right.
Because in this culture, men are scared to work on relationships.
Oh, yeah.
But that's their training as men. For a man to work on a relationship puts him in a state of fear that he's going to
fail,
yes,
mm-hmm.
and be humiliated and be in shame.
Mm-hmm.
And that if he's discussing the relationship, then there's something inadequate about him.
Mm-hmm.
And that somehow or another he's got to fix something about him, something's wrong, and ultimately any discussion about the relationship will come to a judgment about him, and he will feel bad, and then he will have to, you know, fix himself or cry or do something.
That's typical male.
That's the typical male pattern, and you know that pattern, yes?
I know
okay.
that.
You know it backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And know that he, unless he has deliberately and consciously healed this,
mm-hmm.
and there's not that many men who've really done that because it's scary even to think about it,
mm-hmm.
know that he may bring pieces of that with him.
Right.
So that makes him, you know, it's like a real man, a regular man.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have that vulnerable place. And you're going to have to learn with your compassion, now you'll be able to do it, to have compassion for him and to let him and enable him to feel safe so that he can open up and be free to be who he is.
I think I can do that.
We think you can too.
I think so.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, from that place, now look at what you want to do for the world, what's your dream for the world. You don't have to see your role in it yet.
No.
Because you don't know exactly what your role is going to be. It may be that you're just going to hold a resonance and the world will shift.
Okay.
Or, and that may be just meditation. Or maybe you actually be going out there and touching people and healing their hearts.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I feel that the job that I have, which I have the perfect job for me, that I'm doing a lot of this on an individual basis.
Yes.
When things come up, I'm healing.
That's part of what you love about your job.
Yes.
You're able to lift energies as you go.
Yes.
And you touch people as you go.
Yes.
So, okay. You know, there is no judgment here about how the form of your healing needs to look, or what your healing work for the in your global mission needs to look like.
Okay.
Don't be fooled, because a lot of people think you have a global mission as a healer. That means I've got to go out and do this form. I've got to look like this. I've got to do that. I've got to give seminars. I've got to travel and do this and talk to people and write books and da da da. No, not unless you want to.
I don't see myself doing
that. No. But you may sit down and there'll be something disturbing you see on the news, and you may sit down and say, all right, yeah. I'm going to hold the resonance for healing and resolution, that as the leaders meet in the, you know, at the summit, that there is harmony and that there's a resolution in these peace talks, and that there's more compassion in the government this way, this particular way or that particular way, and you start dreaming it for them.
Yes, okay.
And then you put it out there.
Okay.
Yeah, that may be the extent that you work.
That's fine, as long as it has a healing effect on the world.
Right.
That's what's important.
That's right. Well, what's important is that as you heal yourself, there's nothing you can do but heal your world, because it's an illusion that reflects you.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah.
And when you feel happy and you're radiant and you're joyous, what kind of world are you going to create?
The same thing.
Right, right. There's been a lot of, even though there's dark and turbulent and crazy changes in the world, there are also tremendous light changes that are happening too. Are you aware of those?
Yes.
You can see it happening.
Oh, yes.
You can see people waking up.
Tremendously.
You can see lights coming on all over the place.
Yes, tremendously.
You know, it's like at those concerts where people put on their lighters, you know,
right.
And you see all the little lights come up. It's happening.
Yes, it is.
It's spreading. And so you can see that it's moving in a positive way.
Yes.
All those lights that are going on, did you know that's part of you?
Yes, because we're all one.
That's right. Mm. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. She got it. All right. Yeah. So you're all one. So your reality will reflect to you whatever you're able to project. And eventually, through your belief of who you are and your power and your capacities, gradually you will see more and more effect out there.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. At first, it doesn't seem to be that much. It just hints and lights and so on. But then it's going to get more deliberate. You may actually be requesting certain things to happen around the planet. Or you may be sending light to certain place and to certain circumstances, and you'll see them heal.
Can I interject a question here? A year or so ago, there are two different channelings that were as a whole group. They were talking about the lighthouse, all of us being a beacon of light and sending it out to other people.
Right, right. And you realize you're just now beginning to grasp that you are one, right?
Yes.
Because as we asked you a couple of years ago, and you think, no, I'm this teeny weeny itsy bitsy light.
You're so right. That's true.
You think you're a little candle flame. But no, you're a big lighthouse with one of those huge, mongous beams, you know?
And I know it now.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
The other thing is, it was about a year ago in a channeling, large one in Newport Beach, that it was the Kryon entity. And they said, watch for, we're going to see compassion in government. Look for compassion. So I was thinking, does that mean we're going to have a woman in the government? Or what does that mean? Or are the men going to get rid? They said the egotism is going to go out of some of the government. Is that going to happen in the United States and other parts of the world? Do you see that? I mean, can you elaborate upon that?
The lights are going on all around the world.
Okay.
But you have to understand that there's certain places where the lights are brighter, that they are more developed. And that's here.
Yes.
You're one of those. It's like there's waves. It'll happen in waves.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So Let's say you're like a stone dropped into the pond and the waves ripple out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Theoretically, those waves go on forever. Mm. Quantum physics has shown that. But what we're saying here is that, say there's several dropped in into the pond, and there's all these have like ripples, concentric circle ripples coming out from them. They're all going to cross. They're all going to work together, and eventually there's going to be patterns. Mm.
That's happening already, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. What we're saying here is that you're going to be working with a network around the world on the psychic level. Wow. There's some of these people you're going to work with you don't even know yet.
Oh, that's exciting.
You see, it is not really opening up. It's starting to open up in the next year or so, the network. A few people know other people in their network, but it's kind of rare because the network is psychic network. It's an ethereal net. Some of the indigo children can go and play with friends in the other parts of the world. They can just go to the net. We're not talking internet. We're talking about a net of light.
Mm.
And as you open up, you're going to connect into your net of light, your particular network, your particular group. All of you have a particular group that you've come to work with, that you align yourself with, and together you create exponentially more.
Wow.
All right.
Right now there's a group every 2 weeks. We have, it's a healing center, and we always, we have these fantastic sessions on Thursday nights every 2 weeks.
All right, good.
At the Love Center.
All right, and so you do some of this visualization.
We do that already.
All right, so you have some of your network is there. Okay. All right, dear one, a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, so
do you have a question?
All right.
I like to find out, how can I get with my spiritual guide, and how do I know that he's there or she's there with me?
All right. Now we want to first talk to you about a guide. A guide is not really a quote-unquote guide. The terminology has come from old-timey metaphysics in which people thought that they were followers and the guides were telling them what to do. All right? Now, and secondly, there's not just one guide. You have about 50 with you right now. Okay? So what we would like to suggest to get in connection with them is for you to recognize that guides are there to assist you. You're the one who is leading the focus. You're the director. Yeah, they may know more than you do. They may have more light than you do. But you're the one who chose to be physical and do the work here. And they'll come and work with you. Now, for you to get in contact with them, we would recommend that you take a class or you get a book with exercises, because this is not something that we can answer in one moment or two. But we want you to know that as part of the process of manifesting and creating in your reality, you do want to work with them, and so at times you want to call them to surround you, and you can visualize a whole gathering of them in various forms. They can be like human beings, or they can be like orbs of light, or they can be sparkles, or they can be like power animals, or they can be half human, half animal beings. And they can surround you, all loving, all supportive. And you can request of them things that you would like for them to work with you on. You understand?
Yes. What type of class do I have to take?
Well, there are classes in psychic development. There are classes, and there's actually one coming up here. In fact, at this place, we saw the channel saw a flyer of where you'll be introduced to your guides in the evening. So check the flyers out there. There's one of them. There's a woman and Dick Sutphin is going to be there too, and connect with your guides and take you to some kind of place where you work together. Okay?
Thank you.
Things like that. That will open you to the ideas of what it's like to work with them, or what you would like to do with them. How would you like to work with them? And in the meditation, which we'll be doing shortly, we will call in your guides. And we like to call them spirit helpers. There's also aspects of yourself, higher aspects of yourself that will come. Your higher self, your spirit, your soul, those are distinctly different. Perhaps your animus, the personified masculine and feminine and so on. You know, aspects of yourself can come. And then you have your particular personal protectors can come. And then you can have special angelic guides or friends from other lifetimes or ascended masters or whomever that you would like to have there. And guides that specifically help you and assist you in your work, and others that assist you in your spiritual path stuff, and et cetera. So you have a quite an eclectic mix, dear one. All right? So just think in that terms. You can't really put a category on them, but they are part of your manifestation process, and they always will be. You're never alone. In time, as you work with them as a group, eventually individuals will probably start standing out. Or you will take a class or read a book that will give you techniques on how to meet with individuals, various individuals, and you will work with them. You okay?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. You're certainly welcome. All right. Well, what we would like to do right now is we'd like to take a five-minute break, and this is really truly a five-minute break, and so that everybody can get a breather and a little water and stuff like that. And then we're going to come back and we're going to give you the last three steps, which are going to sound awfully familiar because they've been showing up in your questions. And it's the last three, and we'll take you right into a meditation to take you into a state of reality creatorship, where you will be claiming your particular reality that you would like to create. So think about what form you would like it to be. And if you don't know what form, what lifestyle you would like it to be. And get what kind of energy it would be like to be there. And then you'll be ready, and we'll take you through that, all right? So farewell for 5 minutes.